Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, and talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a success coach, spokeswoman, and fundraiser with Successimo.com, a free social networking, informational, and inspirational website. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and a winologist expert. She is your host today on January Jones, sharing Successimo stories. So sit back and relax and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones and her eclectic roster of guests on Blog Talk Radio as you learn while you earn. These stories plus sharing equal Successimo.com. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you're entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Who you are going to vote for in election 2012? Have you made your decision yet? Tell me, would you like to learn more about the issues this year? The economy, Obamacare, jobs, the war, education, and foreign policy. Can you imagine being an independent like myself, who has voted 12 times in her lifetime? And interestingly enough, I looked at my voting record and I voted 6 times as a Republican and 6 times as a Democrat. And you know, I truly am one of those people who, when I go to the voting booth, I make up my decision when I walk into the booth. I don't ever vote ahead of time. I like to listen to both sides. I like to hear all the arguments. And then I make up my decision on election day. And I am a true independent. Now, let me ask you, when was the last time you heard about two wonderful, wonderful people who have agreed to disagreed? Yes, I would like to introduce you to my co-host today. I will be doing the show with two guests and two co-hosts, and one is a Republican and one is a Democrat. My Democrat guest is Kojenwa Mowat, and she has been on the show before. Welcome, Kojenwa. Happy to have you with us.
Thank you. It's happy to be here. I'm so happy to be here again.
Oh, wonderful. And our other co-host is Rob Hill, who is the Republican representative today, and he's been on the show before too, Rob. Welcome to you.
Well, thank you very much, January. I'm looking forward to this.
Okay. Now for my listeners, are you ready to learn while you earn? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place, and I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Successimo Stories. Today, I will be introducing my two guests who you've previously met, and they have been guests on my show before. Before we start the show, I'd love to invite all the listeners to call in, and if you have any questions for our guests, we'd love to have you call in. The call-in number is 818-431-8506. That's 818-431-8506. And I'm pleased to announce that this show today is featured live on the front page of Blog Talk Radio. And I've been honored to become a featured host, and I'm very excited about that. And I'm very excited about doing the show today. Let me give you a rundown on how the format is going to work. We have 6 topics that we're going to talk about. Each one of my co-hosts will make a statement, and then they each will have a chance to do a little bit of a rebuttal, and then they'll close that segment with a final comment about that topic. Now, the first topic that we are going to address today will be the economy. And, oh, my gosh, everyone's talking about the economy. Everyone's concerned about it. It's been a major, major topic in all of the debates that we've watched. So let's start off with the economy. And, Kojenwa, would you like to make your statement about your thoughts on the economy and how you can convince me to vote for your man, President Obama?
Yes, absolutely, January, and thank you so much again for having me on the show. I would like for us to take pause and think back to 2008 when literally the world was falling from underneath us. I had just graduated from an international MBA in Boston. My friends at Harvard had all of their letters rescinded for jobs that they had been promised. You know, people were talking about credit default swaps and the fact that the mortgage crisis was just literally getting started. Uh-huh. Madoff had swindled all this money. The president had walked into a minefield, literally, and it didn't matter who it would have been. If it had been the McCain-Palin ticket, whoever it might have been, it's obvious, it's evident that the president inherited a mess. So moving forward, now that we're in 2012, mm-hmm. it would seem to me that while the jobless rate is still very high, it's at least been lessened. You know, and we saw the October jobs report come out, and we have just recently now seen the November jobs report. The president is doing the best work he possibly can to get people back to work. Some of the bailouts that he issued for the auto industry in Ohio specifically spoke to that argument. Mm-hmm. So there were cars that were built and designed to help people get back to work in the manufacturing jobs, which fundamentally has very much to do with the middle-class economy, are back at work. So we're starting to see little bits of light. We're starting to see people in classrooms about to graduate with one or two job offers. It's not the same landscape that it was in 2008, and I would argue that anyone coming into that situation was going to be saddled with a huge, huge burden. And I don't feel like Romney at this particular point in time should have anything to say about it because he didn't experience it.
Okay. And now, Rob, would you like to start your comments on the economy from the Republican viewpoint?
Well, yes, January, and thank you very much. Kojenwa, you're very articulate. Sounds good, but it's not as what it seems. See, President Obama got elected based on his popularity, and his popularity has elevated him to a place that his character cannot sustain because there is no integrity in this administration. Number one, the debt. Now, Obama said that he was going to cut the debt in half by his fourth year, which is now. And actually what he did was he doubled it, $6 trillion in 4 years. He has spent more money than the total Bush administration did in 8 years already, and he hasn't even completed his first term. As far as the economy goes, see, what people need to understand is that government does not produce jobs. The only thing that government can do is make the landscape even so that everybody that does produce jobs, the entrepreneurs, can produce jobs. So when a politician stands in front of you and tells you what he's going to do for you, the first question in your mind ought to be, where is he going to get the money from? Because mm-hmm. everything that the government gives to the people, it must first take from the people. And that's what we've got right now. We've got a man that's president of this country that wants to change this country. The same system that allowed him to become the leader of the free world is the one that he wants to change. Why? That's just my question there. And, again, I go back to the economy. President Obama and his administration have put in place more regulations than all the previous administrations. He is regulating us right into the poorhouse, and he's spending more money than you can even imagine. How can you wrap your mind around $6
trillion? Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Big number.
it is truly amazing, and I'm going to hold right there, and we can go on to the next topic.
Okay, Gojenwa, could you do a rebuttal comment and make that?
Yeah.
I'm going to make that your final comment, okay?
Yes, absolutely. I did want to address some of the comments that Rob made.
Uh-huh.
I feel that popularity, I mean, fundamentally, it is a popularity contest. You're absolutely right, because it has to do with whether you can connect with people, fundamentally. Can you, as the leader of the country, connect with the people that you are working for? If you don't identify with me, you can't help me. If you don't understand that I need to seek treatment as a woman for various issues, then you don't understand me. If you don't recognize that, you know, certain issues are, you know, are more prevalent in certain areas, then you don't understand me. President Obama has an uncanny ability to understand the people of the country, irrespective of who they are, and that's what makes him so amazing as a leader. And that's fundamentally what it takes to be a leader, is being able to connect with people, which I find Mitt Romney is unable to. He's very stiff. You see him present. He's not able to really connect. And I see it because I'm in communications.
Okay.
But that
okay, now we're going to hear a few words from Rob on this before we go to our commercial break. Rob, would you make some final comments about Gojenwa's comments and the economy?
Yes. Okay. Number one, government help breeds dependency. This is why we have so many people that are not in a position to help themselves, because they're looking for a hand out, not a hand up. Number two, when you feel that somebody is getting to know you and all this, see, that's the problem. That's what separates liberals from conservatives, is that liberals feel and conservatives think. See, we've got to think our way through this thing.
No, that's incorrect. That's absolute garbage. That's total trash. I'm sorry, but I take personal offense to that. I'm a liberal, and I'm a very big thinker, and many of my contemporaries who are also highly educated are liberals. High thinkers. So I personally take offense to that. I would like to see you manage a country's debt. It's just the way it goes. You have to be able to write more checks or receive more checks than you write. It's the same thing as anything in business, and that's just the way it goes. So it's going to take longer than we originally thought, and it does happen. There have been many politicians. And you should remember that every Republican has driven this country into debt. Reagan did it. You know, Clinton came in and fixed it. Bush came in and undid it again. So the track record has not been very good insofar as how Republicans have handled the debt question.
Okay.
With regard to regulations, you're damn right there should have been regulations. Wall Street was a damn mess. They were running amok with all kinds of programs telling poor people that they could afford mortgages when they really couldn't. I think that's abhorrent, and I personally feel that that's morally incorrect. So at that point, yes, the government should step in and say something.
Okay, now, Rob, you have about a minute and a half to make your final comment before our commercial break.
Okay, now, the housing crisis was totally due to Democrats wanting to give everybody a home. That's where the housing crisis came. That's
now, where did you get that fact from? That's
okay. Say that your liberal counterparts, you guys think and all of that, that's a beautiful thing. It's nice if you think that, but that's not what happens, see, because you said it yourself. You feel this thing. You feel this and feel
There's
that.
Nothing wrong with feeling, my friend. It's
well,
just the way
I
it is.
I didn't interrupt you. This is how you know when you're talking to a liberal, because they always got to interrupt. Doesn't matter how loud they speak, it still doesn't make any sense.
Well, you know what? Both of you are fantastic, and I'm thrilled to have you on the show. And you both have agreed to disagree. And I am actually going to interrupt now with a word from our sponsor. And we'll be right back with Gojenwa and Rob discussing Election Decision 2012.
When you think that something is too good to be true, could you ever be wrong? The answer is yes, yes, yes. When it comes to Successimo.com, because you will earn while you learn, and it will be free, free, free. Successimo.com is a social networking site that will change the way you learn and earn money while you work on your computer at home. This free website provides continuous learning opportunities while rewarding you for taking lessons and inviting others to join with you, receiving inspirational information. You'll receive points that can be redeemed for merchandise or cash. Just what does free mean to users at Successimo.com? It means that there are no fees, no donations, no pledges. You will never need cash, checks, or credit cards. All revenues are generated from advertisers at the website, just like Facebook and Twitter. This too-good-to-be-true social networking site is the newest paradigm on the Internet for home-based business and nonprofit organizations. Do you hate asking people for money? We all do. And the good news is that Successimo is a fundraiser for nonprofits that does not require money. It just requires small amounts of your time or your organization's time to raise funds. When you do lesson activities, you'll receive points that can be redeemed for merchandise or cash. When you think of Successimo.com, you need to think learn while you earn, and always remember that passion plus purpose equals prosperity. Successimo.com is not only too good to be true, it is unbelievably innovative, and there are no downsides since no money is ever required. Successimo.com is the right website for now because it is the first one ever to pay people to participate. No one else does this. So sign up now and stop whining, start winning, and start being Successimo. Successimo.com is not only beyond priceless, it's a fantastic way to pay it forward.
Welcome back. This is January Jones with my two wonderful co-hosts, Rob Hill and Coach Anwell Mowat. And they both are with Successimo.com. And I'd like to take this opportunity for each one of them to share their website information with our listeners so that you can follow them at their website. Rob, could you give your website information, please?
Yes, thank you, January. My website is www.rhillenterprisesinc.com. That is one word, rhillenterprisesinc.com. And, that's what I wanted to say.
Wonderful. And Coach Anwa, could you share your website information with my listeners?
Yes, January. So that's www.zebra.nu. So zebra as in the animal. It's not a .com extension. It's .nu. And we are a public relations firm based out of New York and Toronto.
Okay, wonderful. And we're so happy that you have gotten through the big storm in New York and that you can be with us today. Both of their websites are fantastic. And I want to plug both of their upcoming shows. Coach Genwa will be back with me on November 20th, that's a Tuesday, and her topic is going to be CEOs and psychos, so that will be fun. And Rob, you're going to be back with us on Thursday, November 29th, and we're going to be talking about your fantastic book, Ask the Right Questions, and I'm looking forward. And also, when you both come back, we'll be able to recap the election results. Now, our next topic is Obamacare, and in this segment, we're going to talk about Obamacare and about jobs, and we've got about 14 minutes to do that. So, Rob, would you like to start with your comments on Obamacare?
Well, yes, January, and thank you very much. Excuse me. Now, with Obamacare, we're talking about government being intrusive, and they're already in every area of our lives, but bigger government just equals one thing, and that is slavery. See, because with bigger government, we have more taxes, more laws, more government spending. We take home less money because they're taking it out of our check. We have less choice because we have less money. Less money means less freedom, and then we have no responsibility because the government's going to take care of us in our sickness and from cradle to grave and all this kind of stuff. So bigger government is not the answer. What we need is smaller government, okay? Mm-hmm. Smaller government equals less taxes, less laws, less spending. You have more money because they're taking less. You have more choices because you have more money and more freedom because you have more money, more choices. And you have total responsibility. See, what a lot of people don't do is they fail to plan for rainy days. Okay? We need to be responsible. We need to be totally responsible, and we don't need to depend on government because they cannot deliver on the promises that they make.
Okay, Coach Enwa, could you make some comments on Obamacare from the Democratic viewpoint?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Obamacare was a name that was pretty much used by the critics, but the actual name is the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. The concept behind this strategy was to take care of people that could not or just really could not take care of themselves. What appalled me, as someone who's born and raised in Canada, what appalled me in coming to the United States was that people were literally left to die on the street like a dog, virtually. Mm-hmm. And it's a very third world country thinking in a lot of ways that you should have a problem and then have an insurance company tell you that because, you know, you had a pre-existing condition or you didn't, that you're then denied any form of care. So it was really a response to look after this issue. What's happening now is that people who cannot afford health care, cannot afford insurance, are going to the emergency rooms to get looked after. And those emergency rooms are getting crammed beyond belief. It's costing a lot of money. And I would say that, you know, in Canada, right, Americans might want to take a look at Switzerland's strategy or Sweden's strategy. I mean, these countries are countries where you would not see someone laying on the ground with a festering wound. I've seen it. And I would say there has to be a provision in place for that kind of issue fundamentally. Mm-hmm. And there are still ways. I mean, nobody's saying, you know, no Democrat is saying don't make money, don't, you know, let the drug companies figure out how they can make money off pills. No one's saying that. We're just saying let's look after people. My God, you know, let's take care of our citizens.
All right. Rob, would you give a brief rebuttal?
Okay. You're saying then why can't people look or the government look after people? Well, number one, see, the government does not produce anything. Like I said before, everything that the government gives to the people, it must first take from the people. This is why we have a welfare system, and the war against poverty has not been won. It just gets worse and worse and worse because government help breeds dependency, and people are not responsible. You've got to be responsible for your health care. You've got to be responsible for your livelihood.
How are you responsible
this country
for health care? How does one become responsible for your health care? I don't understand.
Well, you exercise, you eat right, you don't smoke, you don't drink, and all these kinds of things. I mean, you take care of yourself. I know there are illnesses out there, but being responsible is part of you preparing for those things. This is why we have insurance companies that offer health insurance, and the free market is what dictates the price.
So if I go and talk to someone pre-Obamacare, if I were to speak with someone, I said, look, my mother's had breast cancer, completely healthy, never smoked a day in her life, and I'm now presenting myself as a candidate for insurance, and I'm being told that I'm denied that based on the fact that my mother has had a pre-existing condition, that's a problem for me.
It is a problem. Yes, I can understand that. However, if your mother had health insurance prior to her getting the breast cancer, it wouldn't be an issue.
She lived in Canada, so she was very well looked after, which I was very happy for. But all I'm saying is people are not dying.
Does she still live in Canada?
Yes, and she also has insurance in the United States, so she's got the best of both worlds. And I feel very sad for people who, by no fault of their own, are facing terminal illnesses, and it does happen, my friend. It really does. I mean, there's things that you cannot – because the question is not whether you'll get sick, is when you'll get sick. We all do, you know. And so at that point, who is it? And I understand that you think that government is here to help out, give a hand. There's nothing that they can do except for institute bills and acts. That's all they can do because that's the legislative power that they carry. They can't tell anyone how to live their lives. All they can do is institute an act or a bill that will, you know, hopefully help you in the long run. And that's what this administration currently is about.
You both have wonderful points, and I'm actually writing down these points because I want to, after the show, review these when I'm making my decision. I would like to now, we have 5 minutes, and let's talk about briefly about jobs from the Republican and the Democratic viewpoint. What are your thoughts on the job situation? We'll start with Kojana.
Yeah, so currently, you know, Bob and I are businesses. We have our own businesses. I think currently what I understand is that the existing government would like to tax people making over a certain amount. And I don't make anywhere near $250,000. I hope to. You know what I mean? But in the interim, I'd like to build up my resources and build up my company so that I can get to a point where I'm grossing $1 million a year, and I'm happy to issue health insurance to my employees. My God, they're working so hard. My God, I would be blessed to provide them with insurance, because that's what it means when you're taking care of someone. That's what it means when you're a leader working in your own company to help other people make sure that they have what they require. So I think the small businesses are the ones that are generating the jobs. Those that are making less than $250,000, I don't know what the ratio is. There are businesses that are making far more than $250,000 to $500,000 to $1 million. But fundamentally, it's the people like us that are hiring talent, that are getting people to work for us. So we have to be looked after. If we're taxed, it's going to be very difficult.
Okay. Now, Rob, what is the Republican take on the job situation during this election year?
Well, the Republican take on the job situation is simply this. Oh, it used to be in this country that if you could cut hair, you could just put a sign out in your front yard and say, haircuts. But then you got this thing called the government that comes in and say, well, no, you can't just give haircuts. You've got to have hot and cold running water. You've got to have so many seats. You've got to have this thing and that thing, all these things, all these regulations in place. And see, they regulate you right out of business because you got to jump through so many hoops to where it's no use even trying. Because once you get all the hoops taken care of and then you got to buy health insurance for your employees and all this, you've got nothing left. There's nothing left. There's no reason. People go into business for one reason and one reason only, and that is to make money, period.
Yeah. Right.
There is no other reason. And so when you go into business and then you got this government standing there taking your money out of your pocket, telling you you've got to do this and do that and do this and do that, then why even go into business? Why not just get in line with the rest of the lemmings out there?
Okay.
You know, and don't get a job. Get a job, and then you get a job, and then you want these entitlements. I mean, that's not what the free market system is built on. Capitalism is not that way. You have got to take responsibility for your own livelihood. You go and you take a job with somebody, that does not mean that person that hired you has got to take care of you. No, you've got to take care of yours. You got to find a way to take that money that you're earning and stop eating it and start planning it. You got to plan it in yourself, because the same way that person started a business is the same way you can.
Wonderful. Wonderful comments from both of you. And we're going to hear a commercial about your host right now. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the war, education, and foreign policy with my two wonderful co-hosts. We'll be right back.
Lately, there has been a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, you'll find out what people whine about, why they whine, and most importantly, how to stop them from whining. The 11th Commandment deals with all of the complaints and causes, and there are over 100-plus cures for whining with humor and hope in this edition. This is the perfect gift to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shalt Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. It'll make you laugh at yourself and others. John Curtis, a distinguished author, reminds us that it is the perfect gift for anyone who wants to be healthy and happy with humor, honey, and hope, and for people who are just hopeless. You can find Thou Shalt Not Whine at Amazon.com and at the Successimo.com Coaches Bookstore. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor, with her book being published in Korea and China. As Sally Shields, best-selling author, states, January Jones gets to the core of the matter with her quick-witted tips and cures that cut to the chase and will put any seasoned whiner to shame. So get reading and stop whining and start winning with Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th Commandment.
Welcome back. This is January Jones. I'll welcome you to January Jones Sharing Successimo Stories with my wonderful two co-hosts today, Kojenwa Moet, who is the Democrat representative, and Rob Hill, who is presenting the Republican viewpoints. This is a show that is we've created to help me decide who I shall vote for this election. I am an independent, and I do not make up my mind till I walk into the voting booth. I like to listen to both sides and then make an intelligent decision, as I'm sure all of my listeners do, too. Our next topic we're going to talk about in this segment, we're going to talk about the war in education. And Rob, would you start off with some comments on the war?
Well, when you say the war, are you talking about the war on terrorism or the war within our own country?
Oh,
because
wow.
We have a war here, too, and that war is with different people. I mean, you got African-Americans, which, by the way, I am not one, and you got Italian-Americans, Hispanic-Americans, all these different Americans, see, and what happens is the government is dividing us into groups, and the Romans used to call it divide and conquer.
Uh-huh.
See, because when you got everybody bickering amongst themselves about their differences, then the government just comes in and controls everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's not what the government is supposed to be in this country. Okay,
well,
our government is just to ensure that everybody has the freedom to do what it is that they want to do, provided it does not violate anyone else's rights. Okay.
Well, you know, I actually was referring to the war situation with the military and the deployment of our troops all over the world. I think people are concerned about that.
Well, that's one thing that I would say, no, we do not need our troops deployed all over the world. However, there is this war on terror, and I firmly believe that it does exist. And yes, we do need to take the fight to them, in the words of our former President George Bush. We got to take the war to them and not have it fought here on our soil. So, yes, I can see the need for some international deployments and mm-hmm. also some diplomacy. But
okay.
That diplomacy does not come at the expense of bowing down to nobody.
Kojenwa, what are your comments on the war situation in this country right now?
Yeah, so I deal with reporters on a daily basis, and I talk to them about the statistics that they acquire to
mm-hmm.
put in their reports and in their articles. Worldwide, and I travel extensively because I'm an international kind of person, worldwide, the Europeans, the Israelis, they've all bound together, and they are interested in seeing President Obama serve a second term. He has a savvy to sit down and understand someone's philosophy and not judge it, but rather think strategically about how he wants to treat the issue at hand.
Mm-hmm.
When we're talking about Iran, for example, and whether they have a nuclear bomb, it's for none of us to comment on. We're not there. We're not sitting in the chambers with Hillary Clinton deciding, you know, what to do next. So we can't comment. What we can comment on is whether the world has stuck behind the country in this past 4 years in making sure and in ensuring that we don't have another war.
Right.
So that's what I'm interested in, because we don't need another war. We're already rife with so many issues, with young people brandishing guns at theaters. I mean, that needs to be addressed. Frankly, I'm terrified for Mitt Romney to to acquire this new presidency when he's being funded by the NRA. And frankly, there are too many guns in the country, and they need to revise their gun policies. So that's the war inside that we need to treat. Outside, we need the world to back us, and it won't happen with someone like Mitt in there. It's not that kind of person. He's just not interested. I also think that he flip-flopped a lot on killing Osama bin Laden, and said that he wouldn't waste his energy. I think I can't remember the exact quote, but he wouldn't waste his energy. That's the kind of thinking that you're getting with this type of character.
Okay.
Really, really, really wild. That you know what? It's fine that you believe those things, but see, I'm on a different note. I believe that you can't legislate morality. We've got over 25,000 gun control laws in this country, and people are still shooting people. You see, guns don't kill people. People kill people. And it's a moral deficiency that we're lacking here. That has nothing to do with guns.
And I understand what you're saying, Rob. I really do. But people kill people because they have mental problems. This killer at the theater, it was found that he had a mental issue, that somebody had said to someone, you know, look, he needs to be treated, he needs to be looked after. Where were this, you know, if we don't have health care laws that really address these issues, or we don't have policies in place that address issues when someone comes to a student council and says, I think the guy's a little bit nuts, then it's a cyclical problem. Everything is interconnected. The guns are connected to the people that carry them. The people that carry them are disturbed. The mental illness is at an all-time high, and people don't address it because you can't see it. And it's still a health concern. So that's why health, for me, is such a strong it needs to be looked at. It really does.
I think we're all in agreement about that guns don't kill people, but people kill other people, unfortunately, in this country. It's such a tragedy. Let's change the topic now, and let's address the education situation in this country. Kojenwa, would you like to make a comment on that?
Sure. I was talking to someone the other day. I represent a world economist, Dr. Edmonds, who is based out of Boston, and it's just a genius. He's, you know, graduated from Harvard, teaches at the best schools. And I was saying to him, so what does Republican mean? What's a fundamental definition? That definition is that each republic, each state in the United States of America can look after its own affairs, right? And so that the whole country, therefore, is a country, but it's divided. It's like Africa. You know, Africa has, 30 to 50 different countries within it, mm-hmm. it would be the same thing. So mm-hmm. what you have is different states looking after their issues, but clearly it's failed. You have a state like Arkansas where, you know, some of the schools are not well looked after. There are a lot of racial problems. There are a lot of issues within the school. You can't ask a teacher, and I've done it. I've taught. You can't ask a teacher to teach 35 children in one classroom in good faith and expect for those kids to come out well because it's just too crowded or there aren't enough books. There have to be enough teachers. There have to be funding for those teachers to continue on with their education, for the little ones to get the best education they possibly can. This is the United States of America. People come here for education and spend boatloads of cash from China, from India, pumping into our economy to get the education and take it back away. So,
right.
you know, it's either we treat people, the immigrants that are coming in, and give them visas so that they can stick around and help to fund the companies that we'd like to see for growth, or we treat ourselves internally and start to really take good care of the teachers and the students who are in the classroom.
Okay. And Rob, do you have some comments on the education situation in our country from the Republican viewpoint?
Yes, I believe that we need to privatize the school. We need to get the government out of the school system because they're the problem. That's the problem. Them and the unions and all this kind of stuff, we need to get them out of there. And then to address that issue about overcrowded classrooms, how do you explain that at the college and university level, you have 200 people in an auditorium learning from one instructor. How do you expect, how could that work?
Because they're so much older. Because they're so much older, and they're capable of taking care of themselves.
They were once younger.
Yes,
they were once younger.
They're brain changes.
So
you get
and growing and move through this thing. See, but a lot of people don't understand it. Education is a choice.
What? You sound really ignorant right now. I'm sorry to say, but I think that you don't understand how mental development works. If you studied Freud, you would understand that the brain develops. It's just the way it is. It's
Freud, I understand that Freud used cocaine.
Oh, dear.
Say that again?
Freud was a cocaine.
I'm sure he was. Many of us are. You know what I mean? But it doesn't change the fact that...
And why listen to him?
Well, why listen to Rush Limbaugh? He's crazy.
See, this is what happens. As you increase in knowledge, what happens is those people that you thought were your friends turn out to be your enemies. And those people that you thought were your enemies turn out to be your friends.
I have no idea what that means. All I'm saying is developmentally, you're a very different person at age 4, age 6, age 8 than you are at age 21. It's just the way... I've been through the school system. I'm saying I've been through the school system, and this is the stuff that I've done. So scientifically, you're not the same person. You need a lot more coddling at 6 years old than you will in your 20s. It's just the way it is, because by that point, hopefully you've developed, you've past adolescence, you have a greater sense of who you are, you understand your ego versus your id, you understand who you are. And so crowding early is not a good thing at all, because a lot of these kids get marginalized, especially the poor ones, especially the black ones in the ghetto. The ghettoized system of being in the United States is unfortunate. And when you privatize, what you end up doing is marginalizing those who can't afford or who don't look good enough or who don't have enough resources, and you save that for those who do. And it creates a system of have and have not, which ultimately breeds a lot of violence. It's just the way it is.
Okay, now we've got 2 minutes left in this segment. So, Rob, I want you to make your statement from the Republican viewpoint of privatization, and then 1 minute we'll go to Kojanwa. Rob, you first.
Okay, well, as far as the privatization of the school system is concerned, I am all for it, because the system that we have in place right now is not working. We've got kids in school that they're not learning how to read, they're not learning how to do anything, but they are learning about condoms homosexuality. They're learning about all these things, but they're not learning what it takes. They're not getting the tools that they need to make it in this country, or to make it anywhere for that matter. And so I believe that the charter school system or vouchers or whatever, I think that would be a better situation than what we've got going on right now.
Okay, now Coach Jenna. Kojanwa, you have 1 minute to make your final statement.
Sure. I don't discount the fact that there are great private schools. I'm an advocate for private school education, but I'm also an advocate for public school education, because not everyone can afford private school education. So therefore, for those who can only go to public school education because that's their only option, because they don't are coming from families who don't have a lot of disposable cash, there should still be a system for them to learn in a really safe way, in a safe manner. Learning with 30 other students is just not going to happen. So there needs to be change, and there needs to be some form of regulation in that domain. More money needs to flood the system, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to education, because that's our future. That's who we invest in right now, today.
All right.
Yes. That's the same liberal argument that's been going on since liberals came to being. Throw some money at it. The thing about it is where is the government going to get the money from? They're going to take it from somebody else. See, that's the thing right there. People, you know, in this country, there have been people that have came up in poverty. Me, myself, I'm from a single-parent household, and it was a really bad situation for me growing up because of the choices that I made. However, I did change my choices, and I did go to public school, and I'm a high school dropout too, but I do have a degree now, and I've educated myself beyond that stupidity that I was in, thinking that somebody owed me something, or that
that's
I was entitled to anything.
Okay.
See,
that's
you've
amazing.
Got to make your own. You've got to lift yourself up. It's not who's going to give you this or who's going to give you that.
And I have to say something from our sponsor right now, but we will be right back after we hear from our sponsor. And in our next segment, we're going to discuss foreign policy.
Let me ask you, are you ready to become a cash cow? Would you like to get paid while you're spending time at your computer? Let's face it, if you're on it all the time, you might as well be earning while you're learning. You may be asking now just how does SuccessMO.com work? SuccessMO.com is the new paradigm in social networking with big lessons and big rewards. Simply put, it is a change in the way people will learn, earn, work, and live right now and in the future. Its primary purpose is to let people become successful in whatever areas of their life that they desire. We have found that when rewarded with valuable merchandise and cash, people are motivated to continue their learning process. All you will need to do will be short lesson activities that can be articles, videos, audios, blogs, or forums. They take only a few minutes at your computer, and they will reap great rewards. At SuccessMO.com, you will never have to reinvent the wheel or anything else. We will provide you with success coaches who will motivate, encourage, and support you as you create your own SuccessMO story. And more than that, SuccessMO.com provides you with money. You'll have the opportunity to earn money while you're learning to be successful. The lesson activities at SuccessMO are from the world's foremost instructors. Our success coaches are experts in their field with proven and demonstrated experience. Many of them are authors, speakers, teachers, entrepreneurs, and successful businessmen and women. We strive to bring you success coaches with diverse backgrounds and life experiences. We continually grow our resource base of content providers to serve you continually for your development desires and needs. It is easier than you think to build your own network by just referring your associates, employees, friends, and family. Much to your amazement, SuccessMO.com will take on a virtual reality life and connect you to a global social networking experience. There are no geographic or physical limitations to this enterprise. So now it's time for you to become a SuccessMO subscriber. And always remember that on the Internet, innovation plus ideas will equal income. It's time for you to step up to the plate and hit that home run you've always been dreaming about. The timing is right for you to use your creativity and courage to start collecting the cash flow that is the future of social networking on the Internet. Yes, you deserve to be that cash cow right now. SuccessMO.com is not only beyond priceless, it's a fantastic way to pay it forward.
This is January Jones welcoming you back to January Jones Sharing SuccessMO Stories with our show today on Election 2012, Who Should I Vote For? Help Me Decide. My lovely co-hosts today are Kojenwa Moet and Rob Hill. And I would like them to share their website information again with our listeners so you can all go to their websites. Kojenwa, would you give your information, please?
Yes, absolutely. And so the website information is www.zebra, like the animal, so zebra.nu, N as in Nancy and U as in under. And that's where we do a lot of PR worldwide, but primarily New York and Toronto.
Okay, and Kojenwa will be back with us on the show on November 20th. That is a, that's a Tuesday, so I'm looking forward to having you back. And Rob Hill, could you share your website information, too?
Yes, and thank you very much, January. That's www.rhillenterprisesinc.com.
Wonderful. And Rob will be back with us on the Thursday, November 29th, and we'll be doing another show and featuring his book, Ask the Right Questions. Also, when both of them come back, we definitely will do some recapping of the election results. Now, for the final segment, I wanted to put the topic of foreign policy out and hear your comments and how you feel what I'd like to know is how you feel Romney will handle foreign policy first, Rob, and then Kojenwa, your take on how President Obama has done with foreign policy. Rob, you're first.
Okay, well, you know, since you brought up foreign policy, I just have to talk about what's happening right now, and we've got this Benghazi incident that's
mm-hmm.
going on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the British and the Red Cross, they pulled out of Benghazi. And then our diplomat there was requesting more security.
Mm-hmm.
And this administration, for reasons unbeknownst to me, but I do have my own opinions, they did not give it to them. And so they were killed.
Yeah.
All of them. They were all killed. Why? I mean, who's on watch? I mean, this is the commander-in-chief. It's him. He's the one that says to go there and do whatever you need to do and all this kind of stuff, and he did not give the order to save those people. He did not give the order. Why? Because he was running off to be on David Letterman or something like that. I'm like, why is this? How could this be happening?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how could this be happening? He's the commander in chief, and they're his representatives. How can he let them get killed like that? And this embassy was attacked twice before, and they knew it. Hillary Clinton, all them, they all knew it, and they just left him out there to die. I just couldn't believe it. And so I think that Mitt Romney would have been there and he would have pulled the trigger. He would have either pulled them out of there or he would have made sure that they came out with the Marines and whatever else help they needed, because they did not need to be sacrificed the way they were.
Okay. And, Kojenwa, how do you feel as a Democrat that President Obama and his Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, how do you feel about their handling of our foreign policy?
So I certainly would agree that the Benghazi incident was a terrible travesty, and any state representative in a foreign country we have to protect, because those are the people who represent the president in the United States. And so I have not read the report. I don't think any of us have, and so we can't necessarily comment on how the event itself unfolded, nor can we comment on what Mitt Romney would have done, because we don't know what Mitt Romney would have done, because he wasn't in a situation where he could do much of anything. All he could do, really, was talk, which is what he does a lot of. A lot of talking after the fact, before the fact, half of it is really unfounded. So I would say that I cannot comment on what Mitt Romney would have done in that very same scenario. What I can say is that it was unfortunate that this incident happened. What I can also say is they were looking at this YouTube clip that some Americans had produced, and I think it was in a very disrespectful tone. And what I think Americans need to understand is that they can't do those things. They can't provoke other cultures, because sometimes they will respond, and that's just the way it is, guys. You can't be offensive to people and expect retaliation not to happen. And that's what people need to understand about terrorism. It's like this lurking philosophy, but nobody really understands what it means. What it means is have some respect for who I am and my culture and my philosophies, and don't outwardly disrespect me. If you have your opinion, that's fine. That's fine. We have freedom of speech in this country. That's what makes this country so beautiful and great. But insofar as publishing something that is really rude and disrespectful, I object to, as a person that lives here.
I think we all feel that way about that. We need to respect other people's countries, religions, beliefs. Okay, we each one of you have 1 minute before we have to close this segment out, and I'd like to hear you summarize your feelings about this coming election and what you can say to help me decide who to vote for. We'll start with you, Kojenwa. 1 minute.
So I would say to you, January, that when you're at the poll on November 6th and you're making your decision, think about yourself and how you will be furthered personally by someone in a position of power. Think about the people that you love, your family, the people that you care about, and their well-being. And by extension, think about the citizens of the country, of the United States. Think about the children that are coming into the world that need assistance. Think about the seniors that are struggling with health issues and ailments.
Mm-hmm.
Think about your personal objectives for what you'd like to make happen in your life. And think about who best is going to help initiate those things and make them better. Because fundamentally, anyone in a position of power is going to have some say in how you live your life moving forward. And that's what I'd like for you to consider.
And thank you so much for being on the show. And Rob, could you make your final statement in 1 minute?
Yes, I could, January. Well, first thing I would tell you to do is put your feelings on the side and think your way through this thing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You got to
okay.
go into that poll, and you got to think about who's going to get out of the way and let this economy thrive on its own. Let the free market take over. It's the free market that determines whether or not a company succeeds or fails. And let's get back to the principles that made this country and a little over 200 years produce more wealth than the rest of the world combined. 1/6 the population. How'd they do it? They did it through capitalism, period. And so it's a capitalist person that we need in office. President Obama has never ran anything. Mitt Romney is a businessman. The business of America is business. Let's get a businessman in the position of ultimate power, the presidency of the United States. And that's what I think. I don't feel that. I think that.
Thank you both for your wonderful comments. You've given me a lot to think about, both of you, and it's been a delight having you on the show. And I hope you've helped my listeners make their decisions, and I know you've helped me. For my listeners, all the shows are on at 12 noon Eastern Time live, and you can catch our interviews with constant streaming at blogtalkradio.com 24/7. I'm looking forward to my guest next week. I have a wonderful guest. Most of my guests are success coaches returning, and we're going to start the week off with Penny Lusendorf, and her show is going to be titled Jumpstart Your Bedroom. So that ought to be interesting. If you've enjoyed this show, please click the follow tab under my picture and become a regular listener by registering with blogtalkradio.com. If you're interested in checking out Successimo, just go to their website, www.successimo.com. That's SUCCESSIMO. You can look it over and sign on without any financial obligations whatsoever. My sponsor email is januaryjonesinfo@gmail.com. I would love to mentor you and help you get started so you too can learn, earn, and return as you play it upward. And then we'll have you on the show just like Ko Genwa and Rob. You know, Successimo is an amazing opportunity to help out any charities that you work with and support. You can actually help them raise funds without asking for money. Yes, yes, you heard me right. It's a positively brilliant plan that's easy to implement anytime, anywhere. So for now, dear listeners, I want you to stop whining, start smiling, and start sharing Successimo with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my wonderful guests today, Ko Genwa Moet and Rob Hill. I look forward to having them back with me this month. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me on my journey today and reminding you to take care, stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones sharing Successimo stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you think it, you can do it. That's what all of our success coaches have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own Successimo story with your family and friends. We hope that our stories will encourage you to explore an equation in the future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others and that will equate to creating cash for your future. Your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you learn while you earn with us and January Jones sharing Successimo stories.